Hello and welcome to the first Booktopia podcast for 2015. A new year means new books. What better way of turning a new leaf and starting over than with fresh stories? Think of it as a blood transfusion for your soul. There is so much to look forward to in 2015. Later in the year, there will be books from international heavy hitters, including Jonathan Franzen with a new novel called Purity, Toni Morrison with The Wrath of Children, Zadie Smith with Out of Place, and Kate Atkinson. Her A God in Ruins takes up a favourite character from her remarkable Life After Life. You can limber up for these while you are waiting by reading their backlist to get a flavour of how unique their voices are. Each bends language and narrative in a way that is unmistakably theirs. On the local scene, I'm looking forward to new books from Steve Toltz, whose A Fraction of the Whole is still a fave, Charlotte Wood, Susan Johnson and Malcolm Knox. His Wonder Lover has to be the most intriguing title of the year. When it comes to memoir, I guarantee that Kate Grenville's superb One Life, My Mother's Story, will win awards and steal hearts. And as for Minds, Norman Doidge, who made the term neuroplasticity globally popular, is back with some much-needed good news in The Brain's Way of Healing. Now, while it's true that most of us do most of our reading over the summer holidays, there is nothing stopping you from extending that holiday pleasure throughout the year. Just substitute an hour of TV a week. Find a new place to read undisturbed that you may not have thought of before. Mine is the bath, thanks to a nifty gift that allows me to prop a book safely up above the waterline together with a hand towel and a cup of tea. Bliss. It's still warm enough to slip into a hammock. If you've never read while rocking to and fro, you have not lived. A swinging canvas cocoon is so private and all-enveloping, it seems to carry its own do not disturb sign. When it gets chilly, just add a blanket. Here's a sneak preview of some of the titles that are already making my heart race. In Australian fiction, there's Clade from James Bradley. It's been a long time since Bradley's last novel, The Resurrectionist, and now he shifts his attention from the grisly past to a speculative future. Spanning several generations of one family, Clade stretches beyond the year 2057, punctuated by environmental events we can already recognise. Bee colonies collapsing, flood and extreme weather events, eco-refugees and global viruses. The book expands through time and into space, suggesting new ways of living and adapting while raising profound questions about human survival. Then there's A Short History of Richard Klein from Amanda Laurie. Few novels deal with aspects of contemporary spirituality, but Laurie plunges right in with this thought-provoking portrait of a man on a quest to find meaning in life who discovers a powerful connection to his meditation guru. Bound to generate broad discussion, this is a satisfyingly meaty read that tackles big philosophical questions without getting bogged down. One of the most eagerly awaited novels of the year is Useful from Deborah Oswald. After winning the hearts of the nation as the creator of Offspring, Oswald decided to set herself a new challenge and write her first novel. Perhaps surprisingly, she's chosen a character who's a total failure at life as her hero. But that notion of being a loser allows her to tap a rich theme of what it means to be useful in society. Sullivan thinks he might be able to contribute best by donating a kidney, having failed at work, relationships, and even a suicide attempt. As you would expect from Oswald, this is great on relationships and full of sharp observations of contemporary urban life and its moral challenges, handled with a light touch. When it comes to Australian memoir, Hallo Beautiful from Hanny Rayson is like bottled sunshine. Hanny made her name as one of Australia's most successful playwrights, thanks to works like Hotel Sorrento and Life After George. Now she's written a hilarious memoir of her inner city life in Melbourne. Somehow she manages to avoid smugness while writing with genuine delight about the everyday she cherishes. Her anecdotes about family, friends and the community she belongs to are told with perfect comic timing and one of the most acute ears in the business for dialogue. In American fiction, there's The First Bad Man from Miranda July. July is a shape-shifting high priestess of indie art cool as a filmmaker and performer. In this, her first novel, she's written two collections of short stories before, she slips from satirical comedy of manners into darker fantasy through the story of Cheryl, a middle-aged woman who finds herself entangled with a feral 20-something called Clee, who moves into her apartment and turns her life upside down. And finally, in biography, there's On the Wilder Shores of Love, A Bohemian Life. This is a biography, well, it's really a collection of memoir fragments by a writer you may not have heard of called Leslie Blanche. I swear this is the life I wish I could have lived. Romantic, adventurous, glamorous, overflowing with remarkable places and people, all captured in words that leap off the page in an intoxicatingly heady mix of style, wit and sensuality. Blanche is not a household name, but once you've read this, I defy you not to want more and plunge headlong into her now classic, The Wilder Shores of Love, which portrays four unconventional 19th century Western women who defied convention, abandoning family, honour and security to go and live boldly in the Arab world. Swathed in furs, wrapped in a turban, setting out onto snow-covered steppes or into the desert, Blanche is unparalleled as a hybrid writer. Biography meets travel, romance collides with history, memoir with social comment. Whatever it is, it's unforgettable and addictive. Happy reading and see you next month.